Open it up to John chapter 11. A word that's been on my heart for a couple weeks. And I believe that today is a day of which God wants me to speak this word of hope. But John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. And the word of God reads like this. It says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And when Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.' And Jesus asked her a hard question: 'Do you believe this?' Some would say it was an easy question, but it's a hard question. Because we're bombarded by carnal thoughts, carnal thinking. And man's ideas get in the way of what God can only do. She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.'" In two instances, the Bible records Jesus being amazed. In one instance, he was amazed with the centurion's faith. You remember that centurion man that asked the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Send your word." He said, "You don't need to come to my house, just send your word and my servant will be healed." Such faith, Jesus was amazed with the faith of this centurion man for his servant. And the faith that this centurion man had actually healed his servant. God granted and healed the servant. Sent word, and his servant was instantly healed. I believe what amazed Jesus was the fact that this pagan Roman commander, who had no history, he had not been taught faith. He had somewhat of an idea of belief, a belief system, but it was a pagan belief system. And so his faith was divided into many gods. And for him to, for an instance, surrender all of his belief system and put it on Jesus Christ, it amazed Jesus. That is why sometimes I do not marvel when somebody that has never been churched, has never read the Bible. I've seen many instances and testimonies where people come to the services where I'm preaching at, and they've never met the Lord. They've never given their heart to Jesus. And yet they display more faith in the Son of God than the very people that actually sit in the church. They come in with an expectancy because they've already held on to their pagan ideas. They've already held on to their joy of the world. They've already held on to their faith in the system. And it has failed them. So what is left is the message of the cross. Jesus Christ. Sometimes they come in with more faith than we do, sitting in here every Sunday. This pagan Roman commander, who I know believed in many different gods, simply believed it where Jesus didn't have to say it. He said, "If only you would send word, I want you to see and hear how much faith it takes for somebody that has never been churched, somebody that has never read the Bible, somebody that has never read the promises of God, to say something so radically crazy that Jesus, all you got to do, not only did he believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but he also believed the power of the Son. In an instance, he said, Lord, if you would just send your word, my servant will be healed. Jesus was amazed. And I believe the reason why Jesus was amazed, because the people from his own town that had seen Jesus grow, that had seen the grace upon Jesus' life, did not even believe him. And so, the fact that this pagan Roman commander had no history, was not taught to believe in Jesus or even reverence Jesus. On the contrary, this Roman commander was actually, he would have had it a greater deal to show disrespect to Jesus. But instead, this Roman commander said, I'm not even worthy you come under my roof. Wow. He said, I'm not worthy that you, Jesus Christ, would come under my roof. Instead, send your word of healing. The Lord met the need and he healed his servant. He knew and he was convicted at that miracle point to believe God for healing. And Jesus was amazed that somehow that someone that high up in the social status would have so much faith to climb down the ladder to believe in him. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us. Sometimes we ourselves, even coming to church, we climb ourselves up the ladder so high up that we forget that the Lord is found in humility. And how much pride did he have to put away of what would be said to him? How much pride did this Roman commander have to put aside? Maybe from his peers, that they would say, you believed in Jesus? How much pride did he have to put to the side to humble himself, being revered as a man that would walk through the cities, or maybe walk and everybody would know he was a commander, they had to reverence him. Then all of a sudden he had to put that fear and reverence shown to him, he had to put it to the side for a humble man such as Jesus. His faith amazed Jesus, that those who followed closely or knew of him could not express. And he didn't have to tell that man. Jesus didn't have to tell this Roman commander, forsake all. This Roman commander willingly did it. He willingly forsook it all. Then you have another instance in Mark chapter 6, 1 through 7, where Jesus is once again amazed on the account of the prophet without honor. Jesus was in his own hometown, and he began to teach in the synagogues. And many were amazed. If you remember, many were amazed when Jesus began to teach in the synagogues. But they began to say about Jesus, another group began to say about Jesus, verse 2 through 6. They said, where did this man get these things? They asked, what's this wisdom that he's been given, that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Look at how they looked at Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives and in his own home. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. But the Bible says in verse 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. In one instance, he's amazed at this huge faith coming out of somebody that has never been taught. Then in this account, he's amazed at the lack of faith with Jesus Christ growing up among them. It comes to tell me that even in the church, we have Jesus at our reach. We have Jesus in our word. We have Jesus in the brethren, and yet we treat him so far. We still look to the science. We still look to the world government. We still look to the things and we have Jesus so close, then all of a sudden, the somebody that comes in that has never had Jesus close believes in him greater than we do. It's just like this man, this centurion man. He's seen Jesus up close. And these people in Jesus' own hometown seen him close, but yet believed in him far. Jesus was amazed here, but not in a good way. The people in Jesus' hometown had the opposite faith of the Roman commander. They couldn't see the forest because they were staring at the trees. And that's the problem with the people of God. We cannot see who he is because we're so focused on the small things. So focused on the small things that are blinding us for who God is. And so we end up mixing our belief system with science. We end up mixing our belief system in the Lord Jesus Christ. That system of power that only God can give through the Son. Because I want you to remind yourself where you were when Jesus Christ came into your life. You remember that power. That power we began to mix with the principalities of this world. We started to put our faith on science and the medicine and the government and finances and money, and we forgot that God is the owner of it all. He is the one that makes the world turn. We forgot that God makes the one, he's the one that makes the world turn. He causes the waters to stop where they stop. He causes the birds to fly. Come on, somebody bless the name of the Lord. He causes the things of this world to function as they do. There is not a volcano that does not erupt without God's okay. There is not a raindrop that falls that God does not authorize. There is not a sun that rises that God has not allowed. There is not a sun, the sun that sets where God has not called for it to set. You got to understand something. He is king. He is God over the world. Let us not forget it. Let us not forget it. This centurion man in an instance believed it and he declared it. He believed that God could do such a miracle. And the people in Jesus' own hometown could not believe it. They said, where did this man get this teaching? Isn't this not the carpenter? Isn't this not Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They were looking at him in a human perspective, just as sometimes we do. We are guilty of. We look at him as in that human perspective. They couldn't believe that this Jesus whom they saw grow up from a little boy, be conceived of his mother Mary through controversial circumstances. They couldn't believe he was the Messiah. That he is the Messiah and that he was the Messiah and he will always be the Messiah. God in the flesh. They could only see him as a regular man. Just as many today also see Jesus. They see him like a teacher. They see him like a memorable guru. A mystic. A myth. Etc. But my question is, in what way do you see Jesus? In what way do you see Jesus? What are your eyes seeing Jesus? What are the lenses of your eyes seeing Jesus? In what ways are you putting Jesus in a box as well? By your lack of faith, in which ways are you restricting some of what God wants to do in your life and through your life? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16 declares that Paul said it this way. He said, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. In other words, every one of us have a God purpose. Oh, yes. But not only that, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You remember that day where you regarded the Lord Jesus Christ in a worldly manner, in a fleshly manner? No, my God is not just a teacher. He's not just what people say. He's not another prophet. He is God. He is God. And what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. He can do all things. Come on, somebody bless the name of the Lord. And so we were all once in this point of view in life, looking at Jesus in a worldly perspective. You remember how you seen Jesus before he came into your heart? He had a worldly title for you until he became real. And he showed himself, he manifested himself to you, became real to you. He got you off of those addictive things. He got you out of that predicament in life. He opened doors where you couldn't open for yourself. And boy, you tried. You tried. I want to just shed light on that. You tried. And I thank God you tried. And you couldn't. You couldn't pick up the weight. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes, the superhero of our life. Amen. And he gave us life. He restored us to what we believed he could do. And all of a sudden, our minds opened up. Our sight, our perspective. We no longer view Jesus like the Jesus hanging on the cross. We no longer view Jesus like the Jesus going into the church and he's hanging there. We no longer viewed him as the Jesus in the manger. We no longer viewed him as the Jesus of the son of a mortal woman. We began to regard him as what? God. And we lose sight of that. When tragedy strikes and when calamity comes, we lose sight of that. We forget that he is God. He is God. Let me tell you something. God does not need the help of man. He can do it all on his own. God does not need the help of man. He does not need our strength. He does not need our wisdom. In him is all wisdom, all knowledge, all strength, all power, all authority. In him, in Jesus Christ, is all authorization. He doesn't need us. But it's so beautiful when we put our faith into action. And we believe. We believe. If God's people would stop perceiving Jesus in a worldly perspective and begin to have faith, we would be able to see what the Lord's capable of doing with a faith that believes him, trusts him, relies on him, seeks him, and lives for him. I want you to just understand something, that don't ever say God didn't do it because of me. No. You have to understand that God wants to do everything that is in his desire for us. But it is beautiful when his people have faith. Amen? Faith. Jesus, still being apart from Lazarus, declared he had fallen asleep. And the disciples said what about Lazarus? Well, if he's asleep, he's going to recover, right? If Lazarus fell asleep, he'll recover. And Jesus plainly told him, Lazarus has died. Let me say to you this morning, he's not only the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the same miracle-working God that he was when he should have arrived for Lazarus is the same God we are serving this morning. He might seem late, but he's on time. It might seem past due, but God is always on time. It could have, God could have come on your time, but he came on his time. And when it seemed correct for him to come. And you, it's to prove that it's God's will above our will. And it might seem past due, but after the results, after the papers are signed, after Lazarus of our lives has already died and it seems hopeless, then God comes and shows that he is God. We need to stop perceiving God in our worldly perspective and start looking at him through the lens of faith. Amen. Quit expecting for the world to come through for you when all you need is faith in God. All you need is faith in God. Quit waiting for what medicine is going to tell you. Quit waiting for what the president is going to take. You got to put your faith in God, the finisher, the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Put your faith on him. Write this down. Number one is this. It's God's estimated time of arrival. Never yours. It will always be God's estimated time of arrival. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think many times we try to hold that accountable to God. Lord, if you would have been here. God, if you would have been here. In verse 14, Jesus declares this about Lazarus. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. Wow. Kind of seems contradicting, because it was like, why would Jesus say that? Well, Jesus was stating that because he said, if I did it on your time frame and how you wanted it, you'd feel as if you have something to glorify yourself about. But the fact that I made it past your time, past you, past the moment you would have ever believed, and I did it on my time. I love it when God does miracles when I stop believing. And don't ever say, well, God's not going to do it. God will still do it. Because he wants to show you that he's God. And he has the last word. I can't tell you how many times where I had doubt in my heart. And all of a sudden, God opens a door that in my doubt, I thought I needed to have something to make God powerful. God is powerful all on his own. Amen? He's powerful all on his own. Now, it's beautiful when we pray and we believe God and we ask the Lord to do things and we believe God to do things. But that's not dictating what God shall do. He does it because it pleases him. He's not our puppet. He chooses the time. He chooses the place. He chooses the how. Many of you came to know him, not your way, but his way. Even up to the point of your salvation, the Lord decide on how you would. He draws all men unnear to him. That's what his word declares. And so it is God's ETA. If God always did things according to our time frame, would we ever learn how to trust him? Never. And how many times do we respond like Martha did? Lord, if you had been here. Many times we're so focused on an if you had been here faith. We're so focused on a if you had been here. If you did it like this. If you did it like that. If I was there. God says, get rid of your ifs. Get rid of your skepticism. Get rid of being skeptical with me, questioning the way I do things. We say, God, I wanted the miracle to happen on the right, but you made it happen on the left. Oh, God, you know, I was hoping you would have did it over there, but you did it over there. Yeah, Dad would have, I'm sure Dad would have loved to have given his heart to the Lord at the altar at the church. But instead, he gave it to him in the back of a police car. It's not the way we want things to happen. But God's ETA is way different from ours. There are times where God has us in places that are not pleasant, but because the Lord has a purpose with our lives. And it is humbling and haunting at the same time, the way God works in our lives. It is humbling and haunting. It humbles you and it haunts you. Humbles you in the way that it's out of your control. And it haunts you because you would have wanted it a different way. To think that our lack of faith can in some way stop Jesus from doing certain miracles in our lives. Now don't jump to conclusions that a family member is sick or has died because you have weak faith. Only God can make that judgment and reveal it to us. But it is still worth noting that at least some of Jesus' miracles are tied to our faith in him. We have a role to play. And holding up the staff of God and believing him. That's why it's so important when God has given you a task. When God has called you to exalt his name. Be the missing puzzle, missing piece of the puzzle. That you would hold your ground. Continue. They're going to laugh. They're going to say, oh, impossible. See, it's going contrary. You say, no, I'm going to continue to believe God. That son or daughter, that you, they might say, well, he's never going to. No, I'm going to be the missing piece of the puzzle. I'm not going to stop believing God. I'm not going to dare say to the Lord, if you had been here, I'm going to always say, God, you know what you're doing, Lord. You know the time frame of my life, Lord. You know the down. You know my life down to the minutes and the seconds, to my hours, to my days, to my months, and to my years, Lord. You know every hair that is on my head, God. You know when I'm going to fall and you know when I'm going to rise. You know when I'm going to stand victorious and you know when I'm going to stand in failure. Nevertheless, Lord, you giveth and you taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My life is in your hands. My victory is you, God. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. It's God's ETA, God's timing. God's timing. I can't stress that enough. It is God's timing. God knows how he will be glorified in all things we go through. I've experienced the Lord do things before we thought it would finish. And I've experienced the Lord surpass the time frame of when we wanted it to finish. Way after what it was expected. Church, God has the last word. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22 is a powerful verse. Don't ever forget it. Write this down. I pray you ponder on this verse for weeks, for a lifetime. Look what it says. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone. That's what his word says. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies. He's standing right alongside God. And what he says, what? What God says, goes. It goes. Understand this. It is God's ETA. Number two, severity does not determine God's capability. I don't care how severe the situation is, it will not determine God's capability. It might determine your capability, but it can't determine God's capability. I've read and I know it to be true. When God took 30,000 men and made them only 300, and yet they still overcame an army of over 290,000. Amen. So don't tell me what God cannot do for us. He can do all things. Amen. He can do all things. Well, I don't have the money. Well, God knows where to bring it. Amen. Well, I don't have the strength. Well, God knows how he's going to give it to you. Amen. Well, I don't have any help. God knows who he's going to send. Amen. Never God fails. Amen. So the severity of the situation will never determine God's capability. Verse 21 and 22, Martha said to Jesus, "If Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." You know, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. 4 days. Amen. 24 times 4 is what? 84? Or what? What is it? 24, 48, 96. It's all right. Did I get it right? 96? Yes, 96. Amen. That's how you know I turned 4 days into 3 days. Amen. But she said, if only you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I want you to just understand, 4 days in the tomb. He had been dead 4 days to the point that Martha stated that in the tomb there would be what? Of a stench of a body. I want you to just see that in the tomb there would be a stench of the body already. And it may look like your time has passed. It may look so severe in your life right now. It might already have a stench of death. The stench of already past due might be in your life. Or you might be saying, man, it smells past due already. But God is the owner of time. He is the owner of time. And it may appear dead already, but a miracle might seem past time already, but verse 40 declares, Jesus replied, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would not see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you would believe?" And I want to remind you, did not the Lord tell you that if you believed? You remember when the Lord said he was going to do it in your life, you came up with a bunch of excuses as to why God would not be able to do it. And then the Lord started working, overcame the doubt of your heart. And you get to another problem in the road, on the journey of your miracle. And you say, well, now look at this, God. Now look at this. If you would have been here, God says, hey, the last miracle that I did is no different than the miracle that I'm going to do now. I provided then and I'll provide now. I healed then and I'll heal now. I restored then and I'll restore now. That's the God that I serve. That's why Martha said to Jesus, "If you would have been here," but even now, so you got to get to that place where you start saying, "But even now, a week has passed. But even now, it might have been 4 days. But even now, they might have said it's past due. But even now, God, you are just as powerful as an on-time God, even being late to my perspective." That's the God that I serve. He's the God of the even now. The even now. God is just as powerful as if he were on time. And even to the point of this, as if he was out of your time. He is just as powerful. That's the God that I serve. 4 days had passed and yet the Lord could still do the miracle. Jesus replied, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would not see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God." I tell you this morning, that if you just believe, you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the glory of God. That son, that daughter, that family member, that those finances, those bills. Did I not tell you that if you were to believe that you would see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God. Being on the rim ain't nothing to me. God has the last word. And many times we have seen being on the rim, being in times where it's just last moment difficulties, and yet the Lord always comes through on our behalf. Never fails. I cannot stress that enough. The Lord never fails. He is always on time. Always on time. Never out of timing. And when God begins to prove his power in my life, then I begin to say, oh, okay, Lord. That's why. Isn't it beautiful when the Lord does the miracle in your life and other miracles come with your miracle? Other blessings come with your blessings. Other favor comes in the favor. Amen. And you're like, oh, now I understand why you did it, Lord. So that there would be an abundance, not just what I asked for. God blesses you and you had to wait. How many of you know what that feels like to wait? You know what it feels like to wait? But if you wait and you trust on the Lord. Many testimonies I've heard, Pastor, man, I was just waiting. We were just waiting it out. I didn't know what was going to happen. And you waited and your favor and your blessing and the abundance was greater if you would have just gotten what you wanted. God knows why he's making you wait. God knows why that door shut in your face. God knows why those people abandon you. The Lord knows why. The Lord knows why you didn't get the job you wanted. But he's going to give you the job you need. God knows why you didn't get the raise you wanted. Because he's going to give you the favor and the raise you need. He knows where to send you at. He knows where to send. God knows best. And understand this, church. The severity of your situation does not determine his capability. You have to trust him. I want to finish with the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 10. This has been a prayer for us since the start of the pandemic. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This past Wednesday, I was reminded of my sister Angela when she had lost her husband, Rico, my brother-in-law. And while they were doing the chest compressions on him on the side of the road, I can hear my sister crying and praying to the Lord. Praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We sometimes forget how powerful that prayer is. Because it doesn't mean God's going to do it. It just means that I'm submitting myself to what the will of the Lord is. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's a promise here for all of us. There's a reason why Jesus said, for those who believe in me, never die. Never. There's a reason why the Lord said that. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very wise minister of the word, Miles Monroe, who passed away some years ago, he died in such a way that was contrary to what I would believe he would be susceptible to, but he died on a plane crash. As his plane was leaving the runway, there was complications and it went down and hit the hill. Him, his wife, and his daughter died instantly in that plane crash. But a man that I revere much, and he said, we're praying for our exit when God wants us to pray for his entrance. We're praying to leave when God wants us to pray for his coming. Many times we're praying, God, I want to get out of this. I want to leave. And God is saying, no, pray for me to come in. Pray for me to come in the problem. Pray for me to be on your boat. Pray for me to be in your storm. Don't pray me out of, and then we become faithful. That's our desire. God, just take me out of this, God, and I'll run after you. Lord says, no, pray for me in. Pray for me to come in, your rebellion. Pray for me to come in that difficult time of your life. Pray for me to come in the time of sickness. Pray for me to come in the time of brokenness in your home. Don't pray for you to get out so that you would meet me. Lord, the Lord wants to meet you inside of your problem. He wants to meet you inside of your tomb. He wants to meet you inside of your calamity. He wants to meet you inside of the brokenness. He wants to meet you inside of the toughness. God wants to meet you inside. Thy kingdom come. Listen, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are in awe, in wait of what is not yet. But I want you to just understand something. In heaven, it's already. Here we're saying not yet. It hasn't happened yet. But I want you to know in heaven, it's already done. So when God is saying, I'm praying, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray heaven. Pray the already in the not yet. Pray the already done in what looks unfinished. God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do something in your reality. And you're here this morning and heaven is about to intersect with your need. Heaven is about to touch your earth if you allow him. Understand, Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus could not heal but few because of their lack of faith. I would pray that you would grab a hold of God's word this morning. You would say that I'm the few. I'm the few. The Lord's going to do a miracle in my life because I believe it. The Lord's going to do a miracle in my family because I believe it. We have to start believing God to such a degree that we would say without money, without medicine, without any, God can do it. God can do it. I dare you to start naming the list of everything you got. Name the list. Make a list of everything you think is going to help you. Look at all of it and say, it will not help. Do it. I promise you that faith in declaring that only the Lord can do it. Only the Lord can do it. Only the Lord. You begin to see God's miracle working hand in your life. The man, when I went to go visit Sammy yesterday, the doctor riding off doing the last report for the evening, he let me stay a little longer. As freaked out as he was, he let me stay about another 40 minutes past the hour. And he allowed me to see him, you know, do all of the vital check. And he allowed me to call his name because they test coherency at a point. They take off the, I didn't know that, they take off the sedation. And they test coherency by calling his name for about a minute to 2 minutes. And he said, call his name. And I was calling his name, I said, Sammy. Sammy. Tacos, Sammy. Tacos. Like that. Sammy. And, you know, he did a strong sigh. Strong sigh. And she said, he said, that's very normal. Because the body reacts to what might seem like a dream. The body reacts, the brain reacts in different ways. But know this, that there are moments where he can hear. He is coherent. And you know what I said? Do you know what I said to the doctor? I said, his spirit is always coherent. His spirit can always hear. You know what? And I said, I speak to his spirit. I speak to the spirit man. And I remind the spirit man that God is calling him. And I said, Lord, you're calling him. And Sammy, the Lord is calling you. The doctor said, you know what? We've done what we've done. Now it's time for nature to do its part. And I said, it's time for God to do his part. Amen. You've done your part. Now it's time to let God do his part. Let God do his part. Let God do his part in your life. There's only so much we can do. You work, but the Lord is the one that extends the finances. Amen. You keep after your body, but the Lord is the one that keeps it intact. The Lord is the one that finishes it. And so this morning, whatever your need is, you can do your part. You got to allow God to do his part. There's a part that you cannot do. It's God's part. It's what God can do. And it's beautiful when we stand in faith and we say, Lord, we believe you. That's your part. It's not, Lord, what do I got to buy? Lord, what do I got to break? Lord, what do I got to build? The Lord says, leave the labor to me. I just need for you to believe. Well, how do you want me to believe? By praising me and worshiping me. Well, how do you want me to believe? By praying. Well, how do you want me to believe? With your character and your attitude. How do you want me to believe? With what comes out of your mouth. Believe me with your mouth. Believe me with your mind. Believe me with your eyes. Do I got to build? You don't got to build. I'll do the building. God said, I'll do the building. I just need somebody to believe the vision. Remember, God will do it anyway, because it pleases him. But how beautiful it is when we believe God.